all of your pride. There's nowhere to hide. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would just do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky, you don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and we're still unbreakable.
What is up, guys? Welcome to the Reborn Podcast. My name is Ashley Horner, and today I have a longtime friend, an incredible athlete, James Lawrence, also known as the Iron Cowboy. He's an ultra endurance athlete, a world record holder, fitness trainer, a keynote speaker, and so much more. He's a husband of five kids. I've met his kids are amazing. His wife is cooler than he is. In 2011, James accidentally set a world record by completing 20 half Ironman distances in 22 weeks. And then the following year, he set another record by finishing only 30 full Ironman distances. Anyways, that obviously wasn't enough for him, so he wanted to amp it up a little bit. So in 2015, Iron Cowboy, he gained the media's attention by completing 50 Ironman triathlon distance races, 50 in 50 consecutive days, all in each different state. So you want to talk about the mental fortitude, the mental toughness. And this was back in 2015. Now, look, that wasn't even enough for him. A few years ago in 2021, he decided to double that. He went out and he conquered 100 consecutive days. He did 100 full distance Ironman triathlons. They were unsanctioned 100 days in a row. And actually, there's a twist to that. Some things happen. He actually did not complete the 100 Ironman triathlons. And we're going to hear what happened and find out why. So listen in, guys. Also, too, if this podcast has inspired you, if it has motivated you in any way, share it, guys. Share it on your social media. Tag Reborn. Tag me. Tag Iron Cowboy. And thank you guys again for all of the support once again for the Reborn podcast. James is a longtime friend, somebody who is incredibly inspirational. I had the opportunity probably like 3 or 4 years ago. I got to go out and train with you. I got to meet your family. I got to see like firsthand like what everything going on there. And it's really incredible. Super inspiring. So what is up, James? How's it going?
It's going good, Ashley, man. It's been crazy. You know, I look back on that time when you did that quick visit, and it really was a long time ago, and lots has happened since then, obviously the pandemic and so many cool things that you've done and I've done. So yeah, it's about time that you and I sat down and have kind of a meaningful conversation. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah. I don't want to just assume that everybody knows who Iron Cowboy is. If you don't, I think that's crazy. I feel like everybody in this kind of like this industry knows who Iron Cowboy is. He's the legend, definitely not a myth. He is the real deal, the legend. So I want to talk about when I met you, what year was it that you did the 50-50-50?
So the 50-50-50 is, it was 50 Ironmans, full distance triathlons in 50 consecutive days through all 50 states. And so we did that in 2015, so almost 8 years ago now. Crazy.
And then do you remember how long it was after you did that I came out to your place?
I bet it was kind of right before at least
2019.
I'm gonna say 18 or 19.
Yeah, 18 or 19, I think.
I think it was winter of 18.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, is my guess.
So James completed 50 full distance Ironman triathlons. They were not sanctioned Ironmans. Okay. They were triathlons. We need to make sure that we get that correct, I guess. in 50 days. So you did one after another in all 50 states. So we're not going to get into this, but like, I'll definitely, if you're listening and if you've been a longtime follower of me, then you know, whenever I went out to visit James, I had already attempted to do a 50-50-50 and I failed. So then I contacted Iron Cowboy, and I was like, hey, I need you to train me. And I traveled out there. I was like, I want to do the 50-50-50 just like, you know, Iron Cowboy did. And I came back after I visited you. I don't even remember how soon after, but I had a big fallout with like one of my businesses, and it took all my attention away. I did not train. In fact, I actually have not even been on my road bike since then. And that was probably I still have it, dude. I still have all my gear, but that definitely took me for a complete, I had a big, fallout in one of my businesses. So I had to step in like 80 hours a week. And, So those of you who are listening, that's how Iron Cowboy and I originally got linked up. I only knew you through social media. We talked a little bit. I originally tried to do this. I had the wrong coach, wrong team, so many wrong things. And then it was like, I just need to have like the one person who's done this to coach me, because I believe that stupid in the first place that I didn't. I don't even know why or what.
Isn't it kind of crazy though, how we go through life and we don't ask for advice from people that have done it before?
Yeah.
And it's just so commonplace out there. We're like, I can do this. I'm going to figure it out on my own. And I'm going to align with this person that's never done it before. Sure. Has zero experience, but maybe they can help me. And it's fascinating to kind of take a step back and observe. Mm-hmm. That's commonplace. Like, mm-hmm. we should start again, surrounding ourselves with people that have done it, have that experience, and start tapping into that. Like, why everyone's trying to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to. Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about, like, you did the 50-50-50, and then we'll say like a few years went by. A lot of people, first of all, some people, their entire life goal is to probably complete one sanctioned Ironman triathlon, right? That is a huge goal. Okay. You defied the odds and you did 50 of these in 50 days traveling to all different 50 states. Okay. So what I'm saying is that for 99.99% of us, that's not even possible, let alone if we ever accomplish anything like that in our lives. I'm pretty sure everybody'd be like, okay, I did it. That was it. The job's done. But you decided to take it a step further. So I want to come to the place when the conversation with your wife, I love your wife.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Started coming up again, and you call her, is it Sunny?
Sunny Joe Mama.
Yeah. I want to talk about like, what was the first, did you say this? Did Sunny say, hey, do you want to do this again? What was that conversation like?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Sunny's been a huge part of our journey. We got into triathlon together. And when we were newly married, we did our first triathlon together. We did our first marathon together. And then just fell in love with the community and the support. And as well as anybody, how logistically heavy trying to do 50 Ironmans in 50 days through all 50 states. Mm-hmm. It's like it's chaos. You are only as good as your team.
Yeah.
And my team's like world class. Mm-hmm. I mean, my wife and the two wingmen and the small group that we have. And so, you know, when we originally set out to do the 50, it was a personal journey. I wanted to find out mentally and physically how many consecutive 140.6 mile days I could stack on top of each other. Because I had broken the world record in 2012 for the most official sanctioned events around the world, 30 Ironmans, 11 countries. It was our second record. And then it became personal. And I was like, okay, I just want to know, like, mm-hmm. what is human potential, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to find that out on the 50 because logistics were crazy. We hit weather. I was in a bike accident. All of these things stacked on top of each other. And we just continued through that journey and did the best we can. Well, 4 or 5 years go by. And, you know, I'd always been in the back of my head, man. And, you know, you're wired the same way. You're like, I can do that better. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to, but I want to. And so it was just always this thing. Like, I wanted to redo the 50. Because we now had some different knowledge and experience from that journey. But trust me, never wanted to redo the 50 because it was just chaos, confusion, and, sure. and really a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And so, of course, dummy here says, hey, what would happen if we doubled it, right? And so, but my premise behind that was, okay, If I can remove chaos, if I can condense confusion, if I can remove the logistics and the difficulty of it, if I can put team system and protocols in place, could we then double what everybody said was impossible and tackle the Conquer 100? And so that, it was just on my mind for like a couple of years. And I was like, nah.
Oh, a couple of years. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. A couple of years. But I was just so busy with my speaking career and coaching. And I just, I put on 20 pounds. You know, if you're not constantly training every day, it's hard to stay at that peak where you have to be to break records. And so, you know, I didn't become complacent, but I was just distracted and doing other things. Well, the pandemic hits, right? And the world completely gets turned upside down. As a speaker, calendar wiped clean. As a racer, calendar wiped clean. As a coach, calendar wiped clean. Like everything disappeared in 48 hours in my world. And so I was like, holy shit, this is an opportunity. And it was like, if there was any time to redo and reset my history, it's now. And so I sat down with my wife and I just said, I never really brought it up to her. And I've been like, hey, look, I've been thinking about this for 2 years. and if I can't get this out of my head, it's something that I need to do. And it became personal for me again. Like I wanted to like reset my own history. I wanted to do the 50 to perfection, meaning consecutive in a row. I wanted to silence every critic, both for myself and my team. And so I sat down with Sunny and I said, what do you think? And she's like, well, we're not really doing much. And, her biggest thing was like, okay, our kids are now, we got five kids. And when we did the 50, they were ages 5 to 12. And so they could come with us and journey with us. And they did that whole 50 with us. We crammed everybody in the motorhome. And it's what made it so special.
Yeah.
He says, okay, now you got to understand, 100 days is a quarter of a year. We've got teenage girls. There's prom. There's all these things. We can't displace the family at this point. And so she's like, if you want to do it, start and finish line is at our house. And this is going to be controlled environment. We're going to put the team here. We'll run everything from HQ, meaning our home. And
I can't even imagine like just your recovery, like how much of a difference that was from like recovering in a van to, or the back of a car to now you're actually being able to recover in your own bed.
Yeah, huge difference. Well, yeah. And the thing is, too, like when you're on the road, you're like, oh, man, I hope the chiropractor and the massage person that we lined up 6 days ago in 7 different states ago shows up, right? At my house, my team is here.
Yeah.
Team is here and I'm sleeping in my bed and we've got a hyperbaric chamber and a red light therapy and, you know, all these things. Now, it still is a very challenging and hard thing, but to have that was amazing. But here's what's crazy.
Plus, before you go even further, like, was there even any consideration to the damage that was already done to your body? And plus, this was like, was it a 5 year gap between? It was a 5 year gap.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're talking like not only the wear and tear from your initial 50-50-50, we're talking about time. I mean, five years. And if you weren't really like that active, your body kind of, it probably, you know, it was, I can imagine it was probably hard to get going.
Yeah, 100%. And so here's what created a lot of the problems on the 100. Like you know the whole story of, oh man, I was an amazing high school quarterback, right?
Yeah.
But you're 45 now and you're like, you're still living in that day. And everybody's got that story, how good we once were. And we remember those good times. I think that's just how our brains are designed, because we would never do anything again if we only remembered how painful the journey was. We forget about the hurt, we forget about the pain, and we remember the good moments, the highlights. It's why women have more than one baby. They forget. They remember holding the little baby and that love and that emotion. They forget about the childbirth and the labor, right? If that was true, like women would only have one child across the board. But we forget. And so I had forgotten how difficult it was, because I was 5 years removed. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to tap into my mental strength. I'm just going to utilize my experience, legit 4 month training camp to get ready for the Conquer 100 after being complacent. So leading up to the 50, I'd broken 2 world records. It was year after year after year of building those foundational blocks, like something I very firmly believe in. And then to take 5 years off where you're like, half-hearted in your physical fitness, like all in on your business, because now you've got an opportunity. Yeah, when they, you know, by day number 5, day number five in the 100, I was completely broken. Mm-hmm. Like I had an ankle injury that I didn't tell anybody about because I'd ramped up my run volume too quick. Oh. Like I know so much better, but I was already pot committed. I had sponsors on board. I had already made the announcement. And so I was in.
So so whenever you were talking to Sunny and you're like, hey, I'm going to do this, was it like, okay, like you started training the very next day? And I'm surprised that you only gave yourself 4 months to train.
I had a very short window. Because we didn't know when the pandemic was going to end. Uh-huh. We didn't know when the shutdown or when life would pick back up. And in Utah, we've got a really hot summer.
I didn't even think about that. Obviously the seasons. Yeah. For you guys out there.
Right. And so I had to either start in March or so I either had to start cold and finish hot as early as I could or start hot and finish cold. And my body adapts better to cold. And so I was like, we erred on that side. And it was actually an incredible blessing that we did because that year, I just kept getting, we actually were going to do it in September, but I kept getting the impression March 1st, you got to start early. Mm. You got to start earlier. And it turns out that year was the year we had incredible fires from California, Idaho, and Utah. The air quality would have crippled me. I legit wouldn't have been, it would have been very unsafe to be out there. And so it's just a huge, you know, talking point to listen to our intuition as human beings. Mm-hmm. And I think we've gone too far away from that. We have forgotten to listen to our gut and listen to our heart and our soul in what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what pushed it up and accelerated that timetable. But I also, the reason I accelerated it and wasn't too concerned was because I used the first half of the 50 to get stronger. Mm-hmm. If you look at my data, my last 20 were my fastest. Mm-hmm. And so based off that knowledge, I was like, okay, look, this is a three. You can't train for a quarter of a year endurance challenge. You just can't.
Yeah.
You just try to get as fit as you can. And then I was going to use the first 10 to get ready for the next 10, mm-hmm. to get ready for the next 10. Mm-hmm. And by about 50, 60, I'd hit my stride and be able to go. Problem was, I got injured.
Oh.
And then it was just a matter of holding on. It became the most painful journey I've ever experienced.
What was your injury?
My ankle. Uh-huh. My ankle shot up into my shins, and I developed stress fractures in both legs by day 5 or 6. And by day 15, the pressure was so great, I was blacking out on the trail trying to keep going. And I remember on day 15, I just came home and I just kind of shrugged my shoulders to Sunny, and she was like, she could see in my face I was broken and just the pain. And she was like, she's so wise. And she was just like, you're done today. You've done the work. You're done. I need you to allow the team to take care of you. We're world-class. And I just need you to do one thing. And she said, I just need you to get up tomorrow and start because we have no idea when the next miracle is going to happen. And crazy, over the next 2 weeks, a miracle happened. A guy pops out on the trail and he's like, hey, you don't know me. I'm the world leading manufacturer of carbon plated shin braces. And in my head, I'm like, where were you 2 weeks ago? Yeah. But he was like, hey, try these on. It'll offload your shin. You're going to have to walk, but you're going to be able to continue and your body will have an opportunity to heal while doing 140.6 miles. And so I was in that brace for a long time, giving my body an opportunity to heal. And then, you know, fast forward, we break our own world record on day 50. And every day it's just like, who wants to break a record?
Yeah.
Now I'm pain and it's still a lot of grit and resilience. And then I don't know if you know this part of the story, but on day 59, we were riding as a group, and the girl in front of me had a malfunction and took us out. And I was in a really violent crash. I was knocked unconscious. And when I came back to, you know, Aaron's the other wingman. He'd been doing all the bike rides with me, and he knows what we stand for as a team, right? Mm-hmm. And we were raising money for Operation Underground Railroad to free human beings that are being sex trafficked. And you know, the goal was $100,000, and that was gonna fund some operations to free humans. And you know, Aaron knew that that's what the mission was. And when I came back to consciousness from that bike crash, he just said a simple sentence: "Have we raised the money we set out to for charity?" And I said, no, man, we haven't. And he said, get back on your bike. It's time to ride. And so I got back on my bike and I finished that day. And then I started to get stronger and adapt and evolve. And, you know, we found out that I broke my back in that accident. I cracked my L5 vertebrae and had to do 41 Ironmans with a broken back.
Oh, my gosh. Did you find this out after the race? I didn't know any of this. Did you find this out afterwards?
Yeah, I found it out afterwards because everything – just, I was in incredible pain with my back, but I just associated it with 50, 60, 70, yeah, 80 sure. consecutive days of 100, like, you know, we're doing 14,000 plus miles.
Yeah.
And what I really learned by going through that is as adults, as contributors to society, we have a choice, Ashley. And the choice is we get to choose where we put our focus and attention. And my focus and attention was freeing human beings from being sex trafficked mm-hmm. and funding these operations. Well, long story short, but we didn't raise the $100,000. We raised $1 million.
Wow. And, you raised $1 million.
Yeah, 100%. And so you ask yourself at every step of the journey, sure. if I quit right now because it's uncomfortable, who am I missing an opportunity to impact mm-hmm. that I don't even know? Mm-hmm. Because if you're showing up, like you show up on your journey every single day and you know, your impact is immense and you truly don't know who's watching you. Mm-hmm. And so you quit on your journey today. Are you missing an opportunity mm-hmm. to truly impact that person that we don't even know? Like,
sure.
like it's a legacy conversation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like you quit on yourself today. You're not just quitting on yourself. You're quitting mm-hmm. on every person for the rest of time. Mm-hmm. Because we're in a digital age and everything's imprinted in forever now, mm-hmm. you're missing that opportunity. And had I quit on that day 59, and then that, and you know, there's multiple things that happened in the last 41 days, we'd already broken the record. I'd already reset my history. Like, I was satisfied.
Right.
But the biggest question is if I quit today, who am I missing an opportunity? And in fact, we raised most of that money in the last 20 days
wow.
of the campaign.
Yeah. That's so powerful. It's definitely something with the mindset, because I know, like, and I haven't done anything to the magnitude of like that you've done, but if like I'm sure you get people who reach out to you and they also want to get into like either endurance stuff or, you know, and they ask you like how you keep going. But if you can change the mind and what the mind is thinking about, that is so very powerful. And we don't realize the power of our mind and our thoughts. And anytime that I've ever done any of these like long grueling events, I just hold on to whatever it is I'm fighting for. Right. Because yeah. it's like, you have to know, and this is what it doesn't matter if you're doing, the Conquer 100, the 50-50-50, it doesn't matter if you're checking in every single day at a job, if you don't know your purpose and why you're doing it, you're not going to do it. You're not going to give it your whole heart. You're going to fizzle out and you might as well not even do it in the first place. It's like, you know, we have so much power with our mental fortitude and how far that we can really go. So,
you're so right. I love that sentiment. And you know, what we think matters. And I actually have a sign up in my bedroom wall that my wife made for me 20 years ago. We've been married 22 years. But it says, how you think is how you feel, and how you feel is how you vibrate. Mm. And the vibrate is the energy that you send out into the world and what you're going to attract back to you. And so if that's truth, which I believe it is, then what we think is everything.
Yeah.
It's where it begins, and it has to be where it begins. And I believe, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're saying is you have to know what your passion and your purpose is in order to do anything successfully. Or else when you're backed into the corner and it's dark and you're desperate and you're starting to get filled with anxiety and depression, if you're not solid on why you're doing it, mm-hmm. you're out. Mm-hmm. It's an easy out. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing. What we're seeing today is we're seeing people sitting at home on their phones, playing video games, lights out, waiting for their passion to find them. Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And newsflash, people, it ain't coming. Your passion is not on a mission to find you. And, you know, we talked about it before we went live, that the only way to become more mentally tough is to have an experience. Mm-hmm. The only way to find your passion is to have experiences. Mm-hmm. And so if you're sitting there right now wondering what your purpose in life is, get up, go outside, do something, meet people, talk to people, make connections. If we learned anything from the pandemic, human connection is so incredibly vital. And so if you're sitting at home right now, get up, go outside, do something. If you don't like the way your life's happening, change it.
So I feel like you have to be an expert at this, the haters, right? Because I know that you had them on the 50-50-50. I'm sure a lot of them, you shut a lot of them up, but I'm sure you had a lot come out from the woodworks whenever you started the Conquer 100. The listeners here, and you know, as you know, social media is huge, and you know, you have girls, you know, like, how can you help our audience understand, how do you deal with all of that? With the haters and the naysayers, because also too, like, I mean, dang, you got a lot of eyes on you. Like the pressure is real. That's why you have to understand, like, you have to know your purpose and your why.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. One of my favorite books of all time, I think it's Mark Manson, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F. And I think that's truly where it starts. And the to say it positively, it's belief and conviction. Mm-hmm. And so, what, you know, that same belief and conviction is the same thing of, I don't care what anybody else thinks, mm-hmm. right? And you truly have to have that confidence, that swagger, that belief and conviction, because then nobody else's opinion matters, mm-hmm. right? Nobody else's opinion matters. And here's a true story. So this is where I learned this at a really high level, that you can't give power to those individuals. Because the reality is, the amount of haters versus the amount of like support and everything that we do have is so mm-hmm. skewed and out of balance, mm-hmm. but we choose to focus on the one thing. And the best example I can give to that, it's a quick story. On day 18, I was in a bike crash on the 50. And I had to really dig in and figure out my purpose, my passion, my why am I doing this? Is this all worth it? Cause I was still gaining that knowledge and experience. Well, the day after, in day 19, we were in Mississippi, and it was hurricane condition. We were pushed indoors, and we'd used an elliptical a lot in training. And so literally, the final few miles of the day, I was like, man, my hip's killing me. We're trying to raise money for the childhood obesity epidemic. I'm going to give myself a chance to recover today, and we'll show up again tomorrow. Didn't think anything of it. Jumped on that elliptical. Woke up the next morning to just like bullies. They said, you cheated, you quit, mm-hmm. the journey's over, go home. They were just waiting mm-hmm. for the moment for me to slip up. And the interesting piece of this is I did all the math. It totaled 7,030 miles that we covered that summer. And that moment on the elliptical, which was a mistake, we're human, we make mistakes. That moment on the elliptical represented 0.24% of all the miles. Mm. And here's what's fascinating. We give power to that 2.24%, and we don't look at the body of work that we're 99.76% of brilliant execution, right? So let's just take 99 out of 100 people. We're all positive and support everything. And for some reason, that one person, we give them all of our power and all of our energy, and we listen to them. Mm-hmm. And so this is my message to you today is, don't let someone else's opinion of 0.24% of your journey impact how you proceed. Mm. Because that's what we do. We're hardwired that way for some reason. And we have to get out of that. We got to shift our focus and attention because in life, we truly get to choose. Mm. We get to choose how we react to what people say to us. Mm. We get to choose how we react to what people do to us. And we get to choose where we put our focus and attention. So if you're the newest member of the community, one, congratulations for even having the courage to start. But two, dude, don't give a flip about what anybody thinks. Mm-hmm. Start to develop that belief and conviction. I don't think we're born with it. I think it's a skill that's developed over time. Sure. Confidence is a skill set. Mm-hmm. Confidence is a skill set. Hear me out on that. Like, that's something that you work on and build, just like your quads, just like your biceps, just like everything that you do for your shows and everything. Like, you put in the work. You're confident. That takes work. That takes facing those people that don't believe in you. It just flat out takes work. And so you have to have The only person that needs to believe in you at the beginning of your journey is you. Because mm-hmm. every time we make an announcement, nobody believed in us. Mm-hmm. Nobody believed in us. And it's got to be you that has that belief and conviction aligned with your purpose in order to keep showing up. And that's how you deal with the haters. Mm-hmm. One, you don't give them any power, any energy. And you have to focus on the impact that you can have. And that has to start with your belief in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about your nutrition and supplementation on the 100, 100, 100? I can imagine. Well, how many calories were you burning? You probably down to a science. Do you know
I was consuming about 15,000 calories a day.
Wow.
That's so crazy. We learned early on the 50, like, okay, you're going to lose too much weight. You can't do this. And so what we could control during the 100 was my food. Uh-huh. And I just consumed.
What were you eating? That's been like the hardest thing. Like, I can never, when I start these like long endurance things, I always get so nauseous, like probably like a couple hours in.
Yeah. One of the emails or DMs I hate the most is someone that'll DM me, and I'm sure you get these all the time too. It's like they're 2 days before their Ironman or their race marathon, and like, hey, what should I do for my nutrition? And they're like, bro, this is as important as your long run, as your threshold, as your recovery. Like, it's part of the training process.
Don't change it up the day of.
Well, don't change it up, but you should have been practicing this for months and months and months and months to know exactly what you can take. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're doing 100 consecutive, if you know that you can handle that kind of volume of food, it doesn't matter what you eat because your engine's burning.
Yeah. So what were you taking in?
Oh, dude, I mean.
In pizza?
Oh, dude, I'll walk you through it real quick. Okay. It's kind of gross.
Okay, let me out.
I make up, Sonny would have a protein shake for me just because I wanted to get my system going, get some food in me before, but get some nutrition in me before I'd swim. I'd get out of the water and I would have like 6 to 8 pancakes, mm-hmm. 2 egg McMuffins, a bunch of hash browns. And then I'd start on the bike ride. And then Sonny would always make me 2 breakfast burritos that I'd stuff in my jersey. I'd have my nutrition. I'd eat those before the lunch break. We'd get to the lunch stop. I'd have a sandwich, another protein drink, get to the end of the bike ride. I'd have a full meal, whether that was like chicken Alfredo or a Cobb salad or just something to get in me. And then on the run, I could consume a lot of fruit, 1 to 2 pizzas, and then come home at night and have another full meal.
Reset
and do it again. But that's what's crazy is that's one of the things I had to do in training was train my body to be able to consume massive amounts of food on the move and keep going. It wasn't 2 days beforehand where I'm like, hey, I wonder what I should eat during this challenge. You know what I mean?
So the four months like leading up to that, you would practice like consuming lots of food while you were training to get your body and ready and adjusted for it?
100%. And I also knew that I could stomach a lot of things because of the 50.
Sure.
That was kind of one of the big unknowns, was like, can you consume enough calories and continue to go? Because, you know, in a single day marathon, Ironman, ultra, whatever it is, you're eating for that moment. Well, when you're doing consecutive over a long period of time, I'm fueling for today's Ironman, but I'm also fueling for tomorrow's, the next day's, the weekend, you know, where you can go into a deficit on a single day and then recoup, right? Your fueling strategy is going to be very different. I couldn't get behind. And so I had to just consume. I just started burning so hot. I maintained my same weight the entire 100, but my body composition changed. I went from about 13-14% body fat to 6.5, but maintained the same weight. And so just body composition changed just because, you know, high volume, low heart rate for 14 hours a day, you're going to burn anything that's in you.
Yeah, anything. I want to talk about after the Conquer 100 finished. And I can imagine you reached your goal way over. All right. So it was a success. It was a success. What was it like on day 101 and you didn't wake up for an Ironman?
Yeah, here's what you don't know. On day 100 at the finish line, everybody thought we were going to go home and celebrate and sleep for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And day 101 was going to start recovery. But I believe that leaders lead from the front, and I'll never ask anybody to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And so on day 101, I actually got up and I did one more. And so in a pool that was normally filled with athletes, I jumped in the water and I swam 2.4 miles by myself. And I was ready to bike that day by myself when my team saw me in the water on social media and they were like, hell no, we got you. And they came out and we did. It was a very different ride, and it was an amazing ride because the pressure was off. We'd done the 100. And so it was legitimately my team, the cycling community, and we just laughed and we told stories and we reminisced, and it was a true victory lap. And then that night we got to run a final marathon in front of my house, making it 101, 14,200 plus miles, no days off. So to answer your question, it was day 102. Where your brain that is so powerful says, okay, I'm now going to let you know how powerful I am. And you now get to feel everything that I've been masking from you. And it was, you don't know when it happens on a journey over that long period of time. It's not a flip of a switch. It like happens slowly to where you're like, I need to start protecting you. You're starting to experience trauma. I'm going to protect you even more. And before you know it, you're in this like, for me, it was this state. It was almost like a third person state that I was in during, I don't remember a lot of the 100, especially the back half. And it was almost like I was experiencing it from above, watching myself suffer. Very unique experience, because I had that ability to flip that switch and go somewhere else. And so we realized about the first week after we were done, or my wife did, that I was not okay, meaning mentally, like something was off. And we then found out after going to some doctors and some high level treatment that my brain got stuck in fight or flight. And it also continued to think that I was going to crash. And so my equilibrium and my balance was totally thrown off, and my eye movements were in the millions when they shouldn't be. And so by noon, every single day, I was exhausted. I couldn't function. And I mean, it got to the point where, you know, right after the 100, Sonny was like, hey, I just need you to organize this pile of socks. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, no problem. Just stood there staring at this pile of socks, like the easiest task on the planet. I couldn't do it. I literally couldn't get my brain to go from fight or flight to parasympathetic. And it took me almost 2 years to recover mentally. And so I have a lot of compassion, a lot of empathy for people that are struggling with anxiety and depression that's situational, and they're not navigating it at a high level because they haven't sought out the help that they need. And I'm so grateful that the help was around, and that I did get the care that I needed, because I was in a lot of trouble. And you know, your brain just continues to send those pain signals even though it doesn't need to anymore. And I had to stop moving out of necessity. I got up to almost 200 pounds. I'm 5'8".
Wait, when was this?
After the 100.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very selective with what I posted on social media. It's taken me a long time to get my mind back and to get back to physical shape.
Wow, that's incredible. I had no idea. I had no idea.
It's been a journey.
So now you're coaching. Are you coaching clients?
Yeah.
So you're coaching people who are wanting to do all sorts of like triathlons. What is your coaching repertoire?
Yeah, everything. So we coach athletes around the world now. It's fun, anybody that wants to do, whether it's their first 5K or their first sprint, all the way up to 100 mile or 200 milers. But the thing I'm most excited about right now is we're in May of 2023. I don't know if this is a drop, but May of 2023, we're going to be rolling out our retreat series.
Nice. Is this going to be at your house?
No, we have amazing locations. Don't come to my house.
Hey, Iron Cowboy has a dope house with a dope gym, but don't go to his house, guys.
Don't go to my house, actually, the flagship event that we're doing is in November. It's going to be on a private island in the British Isles. I'm super excited. I've been really fortunate and blessed to have spoken now in 52 countries around the world.
Wow, that's incredible. Congrats.
Thank you. It's been unbelievable. We obviously, our first book, Redefine Impossible, has been an incredible success. And we just signed a big publisher deal to release the new book next year. It's going to be called Iron Hope, because hope is life. But I'm really excited about the retreat series that we're doing, because as I've traveled around the world, the number one question I get is, how do I become more mentally tough? And you know this.
I get that question a lot, too.
All the time. Yeah. Yep. And my answer is, you have to have an experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you hear a lot of people say motivation's crap, which it is. It's about discipline. Mm-hmm. In order to have discipline, you have to have experiences in order to develop that discipline. Okay. So if all that's true, we want to create experiences for people to come and network and connection and get to the point where they're like, okay, do I have the courage to take the next step, even though I feel broken right now? Mm-hmm. And so I'm super excited to.
So are you having these people like swim around this small island? Are they riding 300 miles through the jungle? Like what is this? What exactly happens at these retreats?
Yeah, we're going to, each one's going to be totally different, and we're going to cater it to who's there and what their ability is. Sure. We'll have to scale some things up and some things down, but yes, there will be a physical component to it. There will be breath work. There'll be mindfulness. There will be attentiveness to our thoughts. There's all these things. We're going to have experts come in and talk about different topics. So I'm just really excited to interact with the community again, to be able to put the retreats on. Like I'm super excited about the one in British Isles in November. We've got one in Sundance here in Utah. We've got one in San Diego, and we've got one in Kanab in Southern Utah. So really, really cool locations. Super excited about the new documentary to come out in January at the Sundance Film Festival. So much cool stuff is happening. You know, it's crazy. You think it, you feel it, you vibrate it, and then it just starts happening.
Yeah.
You keep showing up and just trying. Eventually you wake up on you one day and you're like, holy crap, I'm living the life of my dreams.
This is amazing. Where can people find the to sign up for the retreats or for the courses that you have?
Yeah, everything is going to be on ironcowboy.com.
Okay.
And the platform I'm most active on is Instagram. And our handle is @ironcowboyjames.
I love that. Okay, so what else do you have going on? Are you are you starting to think about, let's see, a couple years have gone by now. So are we thinking about a 200? Are we?
here's what's interesting. Absolutely not.
He says that now.
This time I mean it, because here's the truth. And this is, I believe, truth in life when you're trying to make any big decision, is you have to ask yourself, what's the sacrifice it's going to take me to achieve that? And then what's the benefit or blessing in my life that's going to come from it? And if you can't make those two things line up, there's no sense in doing it. And for me to do 200, now I believe in my mind and in my body, if I prepared long enough and I put the right team around me and got the all of it, I could do it. Mm-hmm. There's no benefit at this point in my life. It's just going to hurt me, right? Mm-hmm. But I believe I can do it. I believe I can do anything I want. But sure. I do have to ask myself those two questions: what's the sacrifice, and what's the benefit to me, myself, my family, and my community?
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm just doing normal racing. I'm back to health and fitness. In fact, one of our charity partners, as you know, is Operation Underground Railroad. And they called me about 4 weeks ago and they said, hey, we're doing an executive fight night and it's a boxing match. It's here in Utah. We'd love for you to come fight. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm not a fighter. And then I paused for a second and I'm like, a huge part of my message is to tell people to get uncomfortable intentionally all the time. Because I firmly believe we're never just standing still. We're either moving forward or we're moving backwards. And in that moment, I thought, do I practice what I preach? So I was like, son of a gun, yes, I will fight.
Wait, when's the fight?
May 13th.
Is this going to be televised?
It's going to be live streamed on EFN's Executive Fight Nights, EFN's Instagram and Facebook. It's in 5 weeks from now.
Yeah, I was gonna say today's the 13th of April. You better are we training for this, Iron Cowboy? Yes. What are we doing? Are we training? 100%. Striking.
We're training every day. I'm gonna be in the ring tonight.
This is exciting. Who are you fighting?
His name is John Wonderly. He's again, they match us up with experience and whatnot, age, weight. I got to weigh in at 172. That's what we're fighting at. And he's one of the largest litigation attorneys here in Utah.
Okay.
And so it should be a lot of fun. It's all for charity. All the proceeds go to Operation Underground Railroad. If you are local or going to be in the area, you can get tickets at efnboxing.com. I know there's a few tickets left. There'll be about 4,000 or 5,000 people in attendance.
And what part of Utah?
So just south of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
At the convention center here.
That's awesome. Dude, you're such a great sport, man. You're like, why would you want to get beat up any more than you already like did to yourself? And now you're like, sure, I guess I'll do it. Like, I can't.
I, Yeah, trust me. I don't want to. I believe I'd be a hypocrite if I said no, yeah. Because it's exactly what I preach. You're the same way. Some things
I am.
A lot of times in life, you don't do certain things, or you do certain things, not because you can't, but because we set an example.
Yeah.
We lead from the front.
Yeah.
And part of my message is do something that makes you feel uncomfortable every single day. Uh-huh. So uh-huh. I kind of had to say yes.
Yeah. So since you've done the 50-50-50 and the Conquer 100, have you had people reach out to you like wanting to conquer like the same, like do something similar?
Yeah. You know, all the time. I've got a gentleman staying in my house right now. He's training to break the ultra run world record.
Wow.
So he's going to do 32 miles a day for 205 days.
Wow.
So it's an insane amount of running. He starts in just over a month from now. So we're putting the final touches on his training plan.
32 miles a day.
32 miles a day for 205 days.
I feel like if you just break that up into like 5 miles, like a couple times a day.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, that's doable. Get up really early, do one on your lunch break, your snack break, your dinner break, and then one at midnight and go to bed. Do that, you know? I don't know. That's how, like, I'm like, whenever you break stuff down, though, it's like, I mean, yeah, that's hard, but like, you just break it down to where it's like so stupid easy. You're like, yeah, I can do that.
That's the secret and the key. Like, you can't look at it as, oh, I've got over 5,000 miles to cover. You got to look, because, you know, on day number five, when I was broken, I couldn't possibly be like, oh, I 13,000 more miles to cover, mm-hmm. right? It's like, no, I've got 1 mile to cover, mm-hmm. you know, and you just show up. But yeah, it's conceptually, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that we forget in life, it's also truth in positive and negative things, the compounding effect. Mm-hmm. The compounding effect of those miles day in and day out with no recovery, it really adds up. Mm-hmm. It's just like the compounding effect of good habits day in and day out really add up. And the compounding effect of bad habits mm-hmm. every single day really add up.
Right.
That compounding effect in life in every aspect is oftentimes one thing we don't think about, right? You hear the concept 1% better. It's so true. Mm-hmm. I heard Jesse Itzler say it the other day. He was like, 18 minutes a day. If you do one thing 18 minutes a day for 1 year, you're better than 95% of the population in that skill set.
Wow.
So imagine you've got two boys. How old are they?
Three. 16. Three. Isn't that crazy? 16,
That's crazy.
14 and 8.
Okay. If all three of them started right now and every year they picked one skill set, by the time they're 40, they're friggin' Chuck Norris on like beating the crap out of the rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
All combined. Show me one person in the world today that can't find 18 minutes a day to work on a new skill set. Mm. I guarantee you that's the biggest thing we're not doing, is doing a time audit on our time and trying to figure out what that is.
That's so interesting to me. Like, now I'm like, think of everything that I can learn how to do. Like,
right?
Yeah, when you break it down like that, literally 18 minutes. If I want to be a better shooter, I just got to work with my handgun. If I want to be better at drawing my bow and my,
In 1 year, 18 minutes a day, you'll be better than 95% of the population in that skill set. Could you imagine in everything that you do 20 years from now, you're in 20 different things, you're better than 95% of the population? That's staggering. And we're both young. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 47. I literally am 50% of the way through my life. Mm-hmm. What can I learn between now and when it's over? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A hell of a lot.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I haven't even started to have experiences in my life yet.
I think you've had a lot of experiences.
It's just beginning.
Different type of experience. Yeah, no, I think that's so true. I've worked with this charity. It's the orphanage that I've worked with out in Haiti.
Yeah.
And like, you talk about like something being on like your heart or like your mind, at least for like a year now, I'm ready to do something big again for these kids out in Haiti.
Yeah.
And I have a bodybuilding show that I'm doing right now in August.
You crushed your last show, man. It was so like, I was so fascinated.
Thank
with
you.
Your journey and watching it. I should have said at the beginning, but massive congratulations.
Thanks.
It was so watch that. You were amazing.
Thank you. I've been like really trying to just put, and I'm an all natural athlete. So it's like, when I was talking to you about how much food you're eating, I'm supposed to be eating like up to 5,000 calories a day. Like, I'm somewhere, I know I fall short.
You got that lean eating 5,000 calories a day.
Dude, my metabolism must be crazy. Well, no. Like getting, like once I was like, I had to diet down to get on stage, but like right now I'm basically in bulking season. So my caloric intake is around 5,000 calories a day. And then
I can't wait to get back up to that because I'm cutting right now for my weight. I'm just like,
oh yeah. Yeah. That's okay. You have like 5 weeks.
I know.
It's going to go by fast. Yes. Well, hey, man.
You've got a show coming up.
Oh yeah. So I have a show coming up in August, but after that, like I'm ready. Like, I really want to do some endurance stuff. Like, I'm ready. Like,
but dude, I'm here to support you, help you. Let's collab. I'll just brain dump on you, whatever it takes to see you.
We're wired. You're definitely crazier than I am. And we talked about this when I visited your house, but we're wired the same way. Yeah. Very similar. You're way crazier than me.
I think you need some vengeance on the inner space. I'm here to support you and whatever that looks and takes. So yeah,
I do. I definitely want to do the Ironmans again, the triathlons, but I'm going to wait till I'm like ready.
Time of the season. Everything.
Dude, I have not stopped thinking about that. Like since the day that chapter basically closed for me. So it's still there dangling. I still see it.
It'll open back up.
Yeah, you'll get that phone call or that message one day.
I love it. I'm excited. I'm ready for the challenge.
All right. Hey, Iron Cowboy, thanks again so much for coming on, for sharing your wisdom, inspiration, and just really like a lot of the hard, cold truths and facts about if you guys want to get mentally tough and if you want to do stuff, you got to do it. You got to have the experience. So if you are wanting, now that the pandemic has lifted, summertime is coming. If you're wanting to get into sprint triathlons, sprint and then what's the other one?
Sprint, Olympic, half and full.
Yeah, sprint, Olympic, half or full. James is can be your coach. So look him up and check out his retreats that he is doing. And then you guys can get mentally tough like the Iron Cowboy.
Awesome. Thanks, Ashley.
All right. You have a great day and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Reborn Podcast with Ironclad. What an amazing, inspiring interview with James. I definitely want to go home and get my tri bike out. Thank you guys so much again for listening, and I will catch you guys next week. Bye. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would you do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? Can never touch the sky, you don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and we're still unbreakable.